Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast episode 40. My name is Yuri Bilast and I'm your podcast host. You can find me everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, even I'm still a bit on Facebook, not so much anymore as back in the days, but I'm still very active on LinkedIn. LinkedIn was actually the first platform I was on. And today we have a guest that was even earlier on LinkedIn than me. Hi Daniel, how are you?
Hi Yuri, how are you? Thank you very much for having me on the CMO Secrets.
Yeah, actually, it's the CMO Stories podcast, but today we have left some secrets perhaps to reveal, Daniel. And you are in Israel, so as people know that are following me, we have people from really around the world. So nice to meet you. Let me tell the listeners who you are, Daniel, because I talked about LinkedIn. Well, Daniel Alphen is the author of a book with the title Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success. And he has opened his LinkedIn account in early 2004. You know, I thought I was early by opening it, you know, I think it was around the end of 2005. So you're even earlier than I was. And so you helped thousands of entrepreneurs and consultants grow their business through LinkedIn. You have a master's degree in English from La Sorbonne, Nouvelle. And as you told about secrets, also I think you also warn people that you will bust LinkedIn myths. So I'm really curious. But before we dive into those myths, Daniel, tell us a bit about how did it all start? Why did you go LinkedIn and what were your first experiences back in 2004?
Thank you very much, Yuri. 2004, I simply got an invitation from someone to this new shiny object. But what happened 2 years later, after you joined LinkedIn a bit later, is that I held a quota in a sales position, and the first 2 months were awful. I was struggling. It took me a lot of time to find the right person I needed to speak with. And after struggling, I remember LinkedIn showing me the name of a distributor I needed to reach out to. And the minute I phoned him and I closed my sale, I decided that I had to discover what that LinkedIn was. Because that, Yuri, has enabled me to cut my sales cycle by probably a third, at least 30%. Now we look at it as something that's usual, but back then there was no way to know the name of the right person within the organization. And it was like a kid entering, you know, a candy store, and everything right. Went very smoothly from that moment.
Right. Yeah, I have a bit of the same story. When I started to use LinkedIn, I was just about to leave my corporate job and starting my own business, my own company, which was in business intelligence at that time. And my first clients and employees, you know, collaborators, they came through LinkedIn. LinkedIn was really for me because I had no really a network that I was actively building at the time because I was in a corporate job. But LinkedIn helped me to, as you say, find all those people. So what would you say is LinkedIn now today for everyone, or for who are the people that you advise the most to go on LinkedIn? Are these the consultants, entrepreneurs, or is it like for everyone?
Wow, that's a great question. Right now, Yuri, LinkedIn has close to 850 million users. And as of July 2022, LinkedIn says that each second, three people sign up.
Whoa, yeah.
That's amazing. So the first question is, are you only going to be on LinkedIn, or would you like LinkedIn to bring you something? And this is a very simple question, but the reason I think you need to be on LinkedIn is not because someone tells you you need to be on LinkedIn, it's because it can help you with your career. If you're an entrepreneur, it can bring you business.
Right.
If you're a talent, it can bring you promotion or job offers, but don't join the platform. Decide what you'd like to do with it. And that's half the secret. Then there's hard work and some systems, but just decide what is your objective when you use this.
Right. I like that because, you know, there are people on LinkedIn that just have an account that don't do anything with it. I said once in an article that LinkedIn is not about, you know, collecting contacts like stamps and then just don't do anything with it. It's like, you know, network with people, do stuff with it. And of course, everything begins with your profile. Like back in those days, people saw it as a CV, you know, everything on there. But I saw it also in your presentation that you say the same thing as I said, like LinkedIn, it's not like you don't need to treat it like a CV, yeah? it's actually like website, a mini website. Can you explain that a bit for people?
Of course. If we focus, Yuri, on entrepreneurs, consultants, coaches, then they're not on LinkedIn in order to find a new job, right?
Right.
If you're not here to find a job, then it doesn't matter whether you worked for a certain company in 2017 or 2016. Whether Efficato was founded in 2013 or 2014 is not really important for the reader. But what is important is the fact that they immediately, when they look at your profile, they see Gary Vee, they see you, and they see that you know what you're talking about in terms of marketing and strategy. And this is way more important than having a profile that is set like a CV. Think about it as a website that needs to promote you and that needs to convert your ideal reader.
Right. What I even did, Daniel, was at a certain moment, I had like these testimonials from my past that I thought that were not relevant. Testimonials that I got from other people. I even have, you know, deleted them because it was not really adding value to, you know, my story today. So that even at that point, I went, what is your vision about the networking on LinkedIn? Because you a lot of people saying, oh, I accept everyone, or you get a lot of invites from people, not even personalized. And you have also those people that, you know, don't really like to accept invitations from people that they never met. What is your vision about that?
Okay, so before I answer this, I'd like to draw one important question about the timing of growing your network.
Right.
If you could be so kind as to bring a slide number three, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about this, and then I'll answer your question.
Yeah, that's for people, of course, watching the YouTube video. You can see it. For people watching the audio, I will check with you afterwards, Daniel, if there will be a possibility to link something in the show notes for people that are listening to the audio version. So let me share my screen, and see if everything works like it should. Screen share, and I hope, Daniel, that this is the right slide that I'm showing. Right.
So we're talking about the timing of growing your network. Then we'll discuss the importance of growing your network, but let's start with the time. So there's two axes here. The first axis, the horizontal axis, shows how many connections we have. So once we signed up in 2005, 6, 4, whatever, we started here, and each connection request we accepted or each invitation we sent and was accepted moved us further to the right. You have close to 4,000 connections, give or take, so you're to the right. But if I only signed up for LinkedIn this morning, maybe I would have 4 or 40, I would be closer to the left.
Right.
The other axis, Yuri, is the one I'd like to draw your attention here, and that is the amount of information you're providing through your profile. So obviously, if you provide no information, you'll be in the lower half. And if you provide the right information, the banner, the headline, the feature, the rich media, the keywords, the contact info, and the links, all these are visible through your profile. Mm-hmm. Then give a lot more information to someone who may look for fractional CMO.
Right.
Or maybe they want to join the CMO 100 club. So if you look at the quadrants here, which number would you like to be, which is the best to be at eventually? Number 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Well, I think for me, both are important, the quality and quantity. But if you want to have customers from LinkedIn, then I think the quality is important, because if you will post on LinkedIn, then if you have a qualitative network, I mean, people that are really interested in what you are doing, this will work better for your engagement. Of course, if you have a larger network and you just want to be connecting people, I would say, with each other, then the large network is important. And of course, yeah, the ideal quadrant is for me when you have both, of course, but that's not the most easiest place to be in if you have a lot of connections. But you can have, I think you can have too much connections also at a certain moment. That's
you're
a bit.
You're right. And we'll get to that in a second. So quadrant number 4 on the top right gives you basically two outcomes. One is that your profile converts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone with your profile understands why they need to read a bit more and eventually reach out to you or go to your website. And it also gives you a lot of exposure. So the next thing I would like to ask you is this. Say we had two different ways to get to the top right, to get to number 4. One is to grow our network, to go to the right, and then worry about our profile, or build converting profile and then sending invitations or accepting invitations? Would you think that it's best to start by going to the right or going up?
I would first, but of course, you know, I started my profile back in 2005, so I have not the knowledge that I would have now. But if I start today, I would first look at my profile, like, you know, if you build a website, like, where do you want to send people to? Because you start to engage on LinkedIn, people will visit your profile and you want to know a bit, what are you offering? What are you doing? And the idea they get from you is what you have on your profile. So for me, it would be first have a good profile, and then you will attract also, I guess, the right followers, because it's not about having such, you know, there are so many people on LinkedIn. You want to have the people that you want to network with, you know, that's how I see it. So to answer your question, I would first go for the profile, you know, have really a good profile.
Excellent. You're smart, but 99% of LinkedIn users haven't started this way.
LinkedIn has
all sorts of mechanism that makes us focus initially on the number of connections. Now we'll go to the quality question or quantity, but before you even consider sending invitations, if you're listening to this, make sure that your profile converts and just listen to what you said now and make sure that your profile provides the right information to the reader. Because Yuri, otherwise, imagine I would own the yuribilas.com or BE, but when I go to it, it would be a page that's under construction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the equivalent of growing our network without having a website or a profile that will convert. So first, look at your profile and make sure that if you are the client you want to attract, you're providing them with the right information in the right order for them to understand why they need to reach out to you, and only then worry about connections. And you ask very tough questions about quality and quantity. I'm a very tough cookie. I have less than 1,000 connections.
Whoa. So you are really, does this mean that you have at a certain moment cleaned up your list with people that, are you just really selecting in accepting people?
Guilty as charged. I think it was probably 2007 or 2008. I realized that when I grew my network and it included many people I didn't know, whenever I was asking for an introduction or someone was asking about me, then half those people did not know anything about it. So that was a very tough moment. I needed to clean my network. And because it's so time-consuming and so painful, I'd like our audience here to remember that changing from quality to quantity or the other way around is extremely difficult. So don't veer. Ask yourself, in 3 years' time, Yuri, would you like to be the most connected or would you like to be the best connected?
Most connected.
Your exposure, best connected gives you referrals.
Right. It's not only on LinkedIn like that. It's on every platform that it's important. You know, have those really quality, I would say a quality network instead of a big network, because you have like these people with 30,000 people, but how can they, you know, connect with them? How can they, it's not about, okay, it's perhaps good for their ego, but if someone says that to me, it does not really impress me. Like you said, I have about 4,000 end connections. It was never my goal to have so many connections, but in the years you get connection requests. And I'll always had like, I would say the vision or the idea, if someone sent me a request and it's not the standard request, and it doesn't look like a spammy, someone that wants to sell to me, okay, I will accept. And then sometimes if they start to sell me, you know, I block them. But unfortunately, we have that a lot these days. But yeah, I'm not so, let's say, I would say severe like you with this, but I've been thinking about that, you know, to get more engagement or to get connected with the right people, that is, looking at your network.
There's a very important point about this, because if you do have 30,000 connections or more, then you gain exposure. But the worst strategy is to start with quality, think you need to have a large number of connections, but stop at 2,000, 4,000, 6,000, because that's not a lot of exposure. Exposure starts on LinkedIn with maybe 20, 25, 30,000. Simply, Yuri, because most people are not visiting LinkedIn on a daily basis.
Yeah, right.
So it's the fact that maybe 2% will see what it is that we share. So if we have 40,000 connections, it is, 800 people. But if we only have 5,000, then it doesn't convert to a lot of exposure. Pick one, either quality or quantity. Quality will give you referrals and quantity will give you exposure.
Yeah, so it's a choice to make, of course, it depending on what you want to get out of it. But as you say, not everyone is visiting LinkedIn every day. But something that, okay, that they have the possibility now, if you have a creator profile, you can put a follow button on your profile instead of the connect so that people can follow you. I must say, I'm not sure what you have on your profile, but I would imagine that it's a follow button, right, or not?
Yes, I do. I think most of our listeners here should try and play with the creator mode. Some creators have liked it a lot. Some have gone back. I tried it and I switched back to the regular one.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth trying. And simply because LinkedIn is offering, it seems that LinkedIn wants to promote the creator mode very strongly. And so it shows creators or people who have switched the creator mode more information earlier. And I do need, if it's a good idea to play with it and simply see whether it works for you. It will enable you to have the follow button. It will enable you to have a direct link just below your profile photo. And also you'll get more analytics and the ability to have a number of hashtags associated with your profile. It's worth playing with. And if you're not happy, as we record this, you can always go back.
Right. Yeah, of course. I have also played a bit with it. So nobody really knows that the details of the algorithm, but some people always try to find out what is working, what's not working. You mentioned hashtags. I heard from LinkedIn themselves that the ideal number of hashtags would be 3, but I don't know if that's still the case, or do you have any information about that?
I think 3 is it makes sense, because you imagine you would see a post and then you would see 12 hashtags. It doesn't look very natural. And you need to remember that you don't write for the algorithm, you write for the human eyes.
Right.
Right. 1 to 3 hashtags would be okay. They would be associated with your content. It would be nice to use them. Don't overuse them. Don't add 20, because it would be an overkill.
Also, something important about your profile that I think it's important, that's your tagline of your headline. Because tell to the listeners why this is important, and perhaps if you've got any tips to share, feel free.
With pleasure. What you mentioned, Yuri, is a headline is the most expensive real estate on our profiles, because the only meaningful text, say we run a search, then I would see your name and I would only see the headline even before I visited your profile. So by default, the headline would be the title of our latest position. Okay, so but by default, your headline right. would be founder, social media strategies, Efficaz, or something like that. But you changed and improved your own profile headline, and you made it more about the reader, more about the person you'd like to reach out to. And I think that's important, because in some cases, our title is not what opens the door.
Right.
If you're a marketer and nobody knows the name of your brand, then it doesn't make sense to say, you know, I'm founder, VP, whatever, at XYZ that nobody knows. But thinking about it and showing how you can help your reader get more from their business, their IT, whatever it is, makes a lot of sense. And actually, I have a whole cheat sheet that we could link to with examples before and after in a simple formula that could help our audience here improve their headline and have a more customer-friendly headline, if you like.
Okay, so for the people listening, we'll put the link in the show notes. And if I understand you correctly, it's like it's a free gift from you where they can have a look at how can they can optimize their headline. Because, yeah, it's really important for people. So how I see it, if you are active on LinkedIn, because, of course, you need to be a bit active too, if you engage with others, if you comment on their posts, even if they don't see you, other people see what your tagline is, and it's kind of a hook, as they say in marketing terms, and then they will look at your hook and they can see, okay, is this something interesting? They will visit your profile, and of course you need to deliver. Your profile needs to be filled in, as you said. It should be like a mini site. And then, of course, you want them to take action. What is, in your opinion, you want to have people up your profile, what is the best action or the action that you expect from the visitors? Is this visiting your site? Is it staying on LinkedIn and send your message? Is this something else? Or is this, is there not really a preference?
The beautiful thing about it is that every person can have their own preference.
Okay.
Most business owners and most entrepreneurs I worked with would like the person to reach out to them. And usually, based on my experience, conversion is likelier to happen on your website and not on LinkedIn.
Right.
So think about LinkedIn as a way to gain top of funnel exposure and awareness. And when people go to your website, in many cases, you would have some system of nurturing them. Maybe they're not ready to buy today in 2022, but maybe 4 months down the road, after receiving 2 emails from you, they would mature and there would be a trigger event. And then they would remember who was that fractional CMO, who was the person they read. And now they would be ready to reach out to you. So we can phrase three quick questions. Question number one, who's your ideal reader?
Right.
So maybe for you, the ideal reader would be a CEO that needs some help on their marketing side, some consulting, maybe some a few months or an important project that they can't currently tackle, that their bandwidth is not compatible with what they have.
Right.
And the second question is, what action would you like those people to perform? So if we manage to have those CEOs visit your profile, would you like them to go to Efficado or to yuriblas.com or BE or message you on LinkedIn or do something else? What would be your choice?
Yeah, for me, and how it already has worked for me, Daniel, is that I get clients from LinkedIn because they read my profile and they send me a message. That's what's mostly happen. Maybe they visit my website or they, you know, they I'm top of mind, but most of the time the conversion happens through LinkedIn messaging. It depends also on the business that you are in. So for me, it's kind of people want really to know, okay, I read this on their website. This is my problem. Can you help us with it? And, you know, it's the fact that it's through messaging. They don't need to call me, but they can just send a message, even if it's in the weekend or whatever, and they get the reply whenever, you know, they want it. So I feel like it's for people less, you know, they are not stopped. They are not like, okay, I need to take the phone. That they don't feel like they take commitment. So it's easier for them to do. So for me, it happens most of the time there. Doesn't mean that they don't visit my website because I also see this in the analytics. And for me, actually, and that's, okay, it's not the ideal situation, but I have two audiences. I have like these entrepreneurs that help me, that ask me for CMO services. But I also coach solopreneurs. And perhaps you saw it, I have also this book, The 5K Challenge, that I've written. So therefore, you see on my mini site those different things. So it depends on the type of person that is visiting me. Because for the people that are solopreneurs, I like them, you know, just to go and find my book. That's another. So it really depends on the case.
Okay, so let me say this. I studied your profile before we record, and it was quite challenging to find the book within your profile.
Yeah,
I had to scroll back to the publication section, and the truth is that most people will not visit the publication section because they know that after the education, they see skills, and for most people, they think they've reached the end of the profile.
I should say this, and this is because I am in a situation between having unpublished my book and relaunching my book on Amazon, because I found out, and it's a longer story, but my audience is not in Belgium, or it's not, you know, English is here not the best language, but I get a lot of demand from the US. And so it is my first book. So by launching it, now, looking back, I see there are some things I could have done better. So now I've you know, taken away my book from Amazon and I'm transitioning to relaunching it. So I mean, this kind of difficult period where I don't want to make too much publicity. But when this podcast will be published, it will be there again. So yeah, this is the reason that I've hidden it a bit, if you want. So that's perhaps not, it makes sense if for people that are listening to the podcast and that will go look now. But at this moment, it's not the ideal situation because I'm, you know, transitioning with this, if this makes sense, Daniel.
It does make sense. And the best thing would be to, for everyone to have a look at their profile every 3 months and say, in some cases, you know, you pivot and you think A and now you're moving to B. That's fine. So just align your LinkedIn presence with your objective. And it's perfectly acceptable that in 6 months, you will promote the relaunched book. And in 12 months, maybe you'll promote a program or a mastermind. And that's fine. Just make sure that there's as little friction as possible between what you say your objective is and what people can understand from looking at your
profile. Right. Exactly. And that's also related to the content that I'm posting at a certain moment. I not have been really posting about my book in the beginning of the year, yes. So you could define my profile. People read my profile and they send me messages because they want to get my book. That happened in the beginning. Now, this doesn't happen, but it was also less important for me at a certain moment because I was thinking, you know, about, okay, I will relaunch the book. So people were now, you know, contacting me for other stuff. And that was also through the ways that I found a new client because they came. So LinkedIn is really working for me. Of course, you can always, it's not that I'm really selling through LinkedIn, but people find me, you know, in that way. So the thing that I can do better, that's about creating content on LinkedIn. Do you have an advice there? What is best advice for people if they who don't have so much time? What is kind of, if you want to, you know, to have LinkedIn working for you, is it creating content or... And I think I already know your answer. Or is it putting more time in engaging with others? Where is the, or is it both that you need to do? That because people have limited time, Daniel?
Right. It's only entrepreneurs that have 48 hours a day. Most of us have. Okay, so let's say this. The easiest thing to do would be to make sure that the content that you already produced and the content that is evergreen is well represented on your LinkedIn shares.
Right.
Okay, because creating that content may have taken you, you know, in some cases, years. You can consider the book. The book from start to finish, it could take, you know, 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, take the foreword or 2 pages out of the book or a simple example from the book and repackage it as a LinkedIn article or as a share or as a quote, and doing that on LinkedIn can take you minutes.
Right,
and
yeah.
That could bring you exposure to the book before it's even out. So imagine that I would go, once the book is relaunched, I would go to Amazon and I would order the book. But you, Yuri, will not have access to my contact details. Amazon holds that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I could also decide that I want to read or get by email the first chapter of the book, and you would have no customer data. So what you could do as an author is pick a certain piece of your book, a small amount of maybe half a chapter, or maybe something that would be interesting for people to get a better idea of the whole book,
right,
and use that within LinkedIn without giving away 99% of your content, but finding a good element that would make people understand about the book. You could also engage with your network. You could show them for the relaunch book, say 2 covers, and you could
ask
them what they think.
Exactly. You know what, Daniel? That's what I did when I launched it the first time. I showed 2 covers to people, you know, and this really worked on different social media. It worked because people are commenting. I also, when it was my birthday, I did a live and talked about the book and all different stuff and so on. So that's really... people react to that. That's right. But when you say about, you know, taking half a chapter or something like that, in which kind of format then would you? Because you have like, you have the post format, you have the image format, you have the document format, you have the video format. Is there an advice? Because I think it's interesting what you're saying, but I'm just thinking what would be like content that would work for promoting a book.
Because you're more advanced than most users, and because you also deal with social media, I think I would make a number of pieces of content For example, I would make a video cover, and that would be simply 20 seconds mentioning the book or mentioning something about the book. So everyone visiting your profile, Yuri, would see an image, and when they click on that, you would speak with them, and they will see the video itself. And you could say that the book is launching on XYZ, or you could read something about the book or quote from the book. Another thing to do would be to try and write an evergreen piece of content that would be a LinkedIn article.
Mm-hmm.
Because when let's say that you and I share as a post something, and I would show them the Amazon link for the book, and you would show them a LinkedIn article. Because yeah. LinkedIn doesn't want people to leave LinkedIn. No. And it will throttle or very limit, it will limit the number of people or the percentage of my network will see the external link. But if you share a LinkedIn article, and LinkedIn gods or the LinkedIn algorithm is likely to show that to even more people, because they know that if you click, you're not going away from LinkedIn. You go to someplace else within LinkedIn. And lastly, maybe a stunning image with a quote as a post could also be a good way to let people know about the book or to have more to understand about the book itself. So it's really up to you how much time you have and what's your poison. If you like doing videos, you can post videos once a week or whatever works for you. If you'd like to do something else, then there are many ways for you to share content. And if you have very little time, you don't have to produce content, because some people listening here don't have a book to promote, but they do read online magazines. They do read other people's content. So sharing that content, if it's well-written, interesting, and that would still bring value to the readers. And if you do that, instead of just sharing it, try to add maybe, two or three sentences about it or comment about it in a way that would make me understand why I need to stop everything I do and check that out.
Right.
So something you agreed with, or something that made you think after you read it or you watched that video, whatever it is, repurposing content or sharing or curating other people's content can easily be done. You can do it in 10 minutes a week, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time.
Right. Well, that's a really good tip. Thank you also for the tips. I've already prepared some content, but I like the idea because I don't have, if you look at my profile, you watched it, I don't have this profile video yet, but it's a good tip to do it like that, because people clicking on it, they will see it, and you really make connection with people. So Daniel, you gave a lot of tips. I think people could listen for hours. If they want to connect with you, I already mentioned that you have this kind gift that people, if they want to optimize a headline, they can go and grab that. Of course, they can find you on LinkedIn. What is the best way? Are there other people with your name, or are you really easy to find?
I think that I'm not difficult to find, and danielalfon.com would be the aggregation of everything from content to downloads and the store. So it would be the best place to start.
Okay. It was so fun to have you, Daniel, someone that was on LinkedIn before I was on LinkedIn, with all these tips, concrete tips. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me on the CMO Stories, Yuri, and it's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Daniel. So guys, if you listen to this story, to this podcast, and you really got some nice tips from this story, share it with your friends, share it on social media, share it on LinkedIn, and for sure, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And if not, I would like to see you in the next podcast episode. Bye.